Wisdom. I want to preach on wisdom this morning. So I hope the Lord gives me some wisdom to preach on wisdom. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. The Bible's telling us, get wisdom. Very clear. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I pray, Father, that you would just come in a great way, Lord, and speak to our hearts about this thing called wisdom. We need it. In a world turned upside down, Father, if we don't have your wisdom, we are not going to make it. Not only are we not going to make it, we're not going to have any impact on this world. So, Father, we need the wisdom of God. We need your wisdom. And so, Father, I pray you'd speak from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Wisdom. Well, you can't see it all. The right use or exercise of knowledge. And it is gained by experience. Simple as that. It's gained by experience. It's just the right use of exercising knowledge, the right use of knowledge. Someone else said the reward for listening to God when you preferred to talk. That's wisdom. Instead of saying something, just being quiet. Someone else said, if you want to be wise, just think of something stupid to say and then don't say it. That's a wise man. That's what Proverbs 17:28 says. The fool just keeps his mouth shut and he's counted wise. So we can have wisdom, and we need to get wisdom. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to have wisdom. Christians today are flying through life blind. They're trying to go through the Christian life, living in the world, according to the ways of the world. It's like a pilot without instruments. It's like a pilot that can't see out the front of the glass of his airplane. He's in the clouds. We are flying blind today if we don't have this book in our hearts and obeying it. We need the wisdom of God. We're tossed all around from one doctrine to another. We get on the internet, and whatever they say on the internet, that's right. We forget what God has showed us through his book and what's preached here from this pulpit, because we're flying blind, because we don't have the wisdom of God. And we don't know how to make decisions. We're just wondering, what do I do now? Well, God has the wisdom for us. For every single question that you have, God has an answer. There's far too many bad decisions that are being made, and too many bad choices Christians are making because they won't follow the wisdom of this blessed book. And we're trying to do it in our own strength. So, why are Christians making so many bad choices and so many wrong decisions, even for their children? Because they're not following the wisdom of God. It's as simple as that. If you're looking for another answer, you're going to have to go somewhere else. The reason we don't make the right choice is because it's in this book and we don't follow it and we don't obey it. God says, the Bible tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Why would God tell us that? Because we've got things that we're struggling with. We have trials in our life. And why are so many families struggling and have rebellious children and they're living carnally? Because do you really want to know? I mean, ask yourself, do I really want to know why I'm in such a bad state right now? You can't read it all, but it's because we've either abandoned the Bible or we think we don't need God. We'd have to be honest with ourselves. Why are we having so many problems? Why do we make so many bad decisions? Why do we have rebellious children? Because we've either abandoned the Bible or we just told God we don't need you. We're just going to live our life without you. You may not like to hear that, but that has to be the answer. There is no other answer. If we follow God's instructions and we get his wisdom for every decision and then obey it, guess what? God's going to bless our homes. God's going to bless our jobs. God's going to bless our Christian life. But we think we can get along without God. Believers are looking for answers everywhere but in this book. I mean, Oprah Winfrey doesn't have the answers for you. She may be the high priestess of the New Age, but she doesn't have an idea about this book. She doesn't preach this book. But people would rather watch Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. Is he over here? I mean, just what do these people have to tell you about living the Christian life? Come on. The internet. When this Bible's preached every Sunday and on Wednesday, as honestly as you can, just taking the Word of God and trying to tell the truth to people and help them. Why would we turn to these magazines and talk shows and books and Facebook? And what did somebody write on their wall? Unless it's a Bible verse, it's not wisdom. We need to be careful what we're listening to and what we're paying attention to. We have the Word of God. We have the very wisdom of the Almighty Creator right here in front of us. But we've turned it aside. So God has given us His book. He's given us His words. He's given us His wisdom for every decision. God has given us a fountain to draw from. When was the last time you really got a nice cool drink of God's word and it satisfied you? I'm talking to Christians. When's the last time you really got something out of God's word and it changed your life because you rested on the promises of God? His wisdom for a situation, and you watched it come to pass and you said, Lord, I did it the way you wanted to, and look what happened. It may not turn out the way you want it to, but it'll turn out the way God wants it to. Because God does everything perfect and everything right. No matter how smart we think we are, we're not as smart as God. And we certainly don't know how to live this Christian life without Him. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So every time we go into this book and we take a nice cool drink of this truth, we're sanctified. We're set apart unto God in our lives. Exodus 34:6 just says that God is gracious and merciful and abundant in goodness and truth. You're not going to wear God out. You're not going to take more than He can give. God can always give you enough truth for every decision in your life. We have this blessed old book. Is this a blessed old book? Do we not sing about it? Do we not wave it around? Then why aren't we reading it? Why aren't we studying it? This blessed old book, we wave it, say it's a well of pure water, but we're not using it to run our lives. It goes on the shelf till next Sunday night when we sing that song. We neither read it, neither obey it, or trust it. But every answer to my life, for every question that I have, is in this book. There's a principle that I can follow. Wisdom cries out, the Bible says. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. I mean, it cries out to us. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1 says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates of the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. This is wisdom. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom cries out to the Christian. It's not like you have to go searching too far to find the wisdom of God. You have it in your lap this morning. Jesus preached to the multitudes. He preached. He was the living Word of God. He preached the Word of God. So we get it on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesdays. We get what? Wisdom. The wisdom of God. It's preached in the streets. Maybe you know this guy. Can you see him? He's preaching on the streets of Dundee, Scotland, trying to tell people that there's a way that they can be born again. It's John. People do street preach. People do go down on the streets of Cork and try to talk to people and meet them where they're at. And in the streets of Ballincollig, wisdom cries out at home, around the dinner table, or you could sit around and open your Bible and instruct your children. In Sunday school, we give them homework so they can take it home so that mom and dad even have a lesson plan to follow. It would take all of 20 minutes to go through the lesson. But you could spend a day on each question and talk to your children about God's holy book, the wisdom of God that they need. It's in the Bible. I mean, we have a lot of smart people, the professors and those with great intelligence. And you may be very intelligent. But professors in colleges don't have God's wisdom, then they're not as smart as God. And I want the wisdom of God. And if I only had a 10th grade education, or I didn't even go to high school, but I got saved and I started studying that book, it doesn't matter what the professor said. I can be born again. There is a heaven and hell, whether they deny it or not. They may be smart, Alex, and wise guys, but they don't have wisdom. Don't be intimidated by a professor or those you think are smarter than you. You get into God's book and get the wisdom of God. The world has all of its technology and space shuttles, microchips, computers, iPhones, but no wisdom. They need the wisdom of God. Too much money is spent on looking for answers to problems when it's right here in the Bible. We just have to study our book. You know, most of the great inventors were Christians, or at least believed in God. Maybe we're just deists. But even Albert Einstein, who didn't believe in a personal God, still said there's a God. We just need to find out what he did and not try to understand it. Michael Faraday, Copernicus, Galileo, they were all at least believed in God, and some were devout Christians. Louis Pasteur, they were Christians. So real intelligence, but also the wisdom of God really stands out. So, where does wisdom come from? Look at verse 22 in chapter 8. If I can get wisdom, where can I find it? Obviously in the Bible. But let's see what it says here. Verse 22 says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old." Not just when he created, even before. "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there." Talking about wisdom. "When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandments, his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, when I was by him, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Where can we find wisdom? It just comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. And where are you going to find out what God has to say? Where are we going to find that? In the Bible. But we need the wisdom of God. And if you're looking for it, it's right there. In Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 6, it says this. It says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 2, 6. God has wisdom. He didn't acquire it. He didn't find it somewhere. His word is full of wisdom. This Bible is full of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is wisdom. 31 chapters. Is it 31 or 30? 31 chapters. That's what it is. And sometimes there's only 30 days in the month. But you can read a chapter every day. And you can read two when there's only 30 days in the month. The 31st and the 1st. So why aren't we reading a proverb every day? Someone asked me about Bible reading, and I told him, first start in Proverbs. Start reading Proverbs and maybe begin reading in the New Testament. But read that, whatever the date is today, the 2nd, you should have read Proverbs chapter 2 today. Within a year, you've read through the book of Proverbs 12 times. Do you not think some of that would get in there just by osmosis? It would just sink in, something would get in there. Believe me, anything that we know that we can impart to someone else's wisdom came from this book. We can help people with this wisdom from this book. Look at Psalm 104. Hold your finger here. Psalm 104 and in verse 24. Wisdom comes from God. You don't have to look very far for it. Psalm 104:24 says, 104:24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So even when you look at a creation, that was made in wisdom. God used his wisdom to make everything that we see. Don't you think we should have a little bit of that? Don't you think we need a little bit of God's wisdom? The Lord possessed wisdom. In verse 22, back in Proverbs chapter 8, it says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. He didn't find it. He already had it. It's a virtue of God. It's part of his character of who he is. He didn't acquire it. He didn't find it. He didn't go looking for wisdom before he made the earth. He had wisdom. And I can't stress to you enough that he gave us those very words are down in our Bible, that we can read and have the wisdom of God. Why don't we follow it? God always had wisdom. He always possessed it. He didn't just find it somewhere. Can it be found anywhere else? Absolutely. Just pick up a phone and call somebody that you know walks with God and reads their Bible. If I have a decision, I call two or three people, or I'll send them an email. I'll say, you know, this is something I'm going through, so I need some wisdom. And I'm hoping, and I'm usually know, I'm not getting their opinion. They'll send back a Bible verse. They'll send back something from their own experience of how they trusted God in that situation. And I say, you know what? Okay, that helps me. Thanks. I get wisdom from somebody. I ask someone who I know is walking with God. I wouldn't ask somebody, I'm glad nobody asked me what to do when I first got saved, because I had no idea what to do. I was finding out from other people what to do. But the longer you get saved and the longer you love this book and walk with God, you just start to acquire wisdom. And people say, hey, that person has wisdom. They just read their Bible. They're just walking with God. They're not giving you their opinion. They're telling you what God said. And they're counted wise. Yeah, just pick up the phone and or talk to somebody who you know loves the Lord and reads the Bible. It can be found in the person that makes the decision to trust, obey, and apply the Bible to their lives. You can have wisdom. You've heard this saying, that person seems to have wisdom way beyond their years. I mean, a young person can have wisdom. Even a teenager can have wisdom. All they have to do is read their Bible, obey it, trust it, and when someone asks you, what do I do? What did you do when this happened? You tell them something from the Scriptures. That's wisdom. You're imparting wisdom to that person. You can have wisdom. A person can be wise and have the wisdom, but it comes from God. If you want wisdom, where are you going to find it? You're going to find it with God. Now, how can you find wisdom? How can I find wisdom? I know where it comes from. I know it's in the Bible. But look at verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 8. I mean, that was the easy part. God has wisdom. It's in the Bible. Verse 17 in Proverbs chapter 8 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, in a sense, that's talking about God, but it's talking about wisdom is what it's talking about. You seek me early. Where is it? It's in the Bible. That's where you're going to find wisdom. The last time I looked, it's in the Bible. But it takes earnest, diligent seeking. You can't just put it out there for 5 minutes, read it, and put it away, and then not obey it and trust it. That's not wisdom. You're not going to acquire wisdom that way. You have to earnestly, diligently seek after the truth of God's Word and want that for your life. Hold your finger here and turn to chapter 14 of Proverbs. There is way too many scriptures in the book of Proverbs to see them all. But just two. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. So if you scoff at God's word and you don't believe it, guess what? You're going to look and you're not going to find it. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Him that's seeking after righteousness. And wants God's word, he will find that wisdom. God will not hide his wisdom from you. Look at chapter 18 and in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1 says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. You can have all the wisdom you need, but first you have to diligently seek after it. You have to really want it. And you're going to have to separate yourself from all the worldly influences and all your own thinking and carnal thinking and wrong thinking and say, I just want to know what God has to say. Now, this isn't rocket science. This is, do you really want God's wisdom? Do you really want to know what God has to say? And if you diligently seek after it, God will be God and give you the wisdom that you need. Most of the time, though, we're scorners. We may not call ourselves scorners, but we scoff at God's word. We don't want God's truth. We want to do what we want to do. Because God's wisdom never agrees with our carnal thinking. And we want to go our own way. All of us. The man that really wants to know. I mean, if you had next week's paper or tomorrow's paper or Wednesday's paper in front of you, Wednesday's, the future, there may be some that would go out and say, I know who's going to win the race. I know what the lottery numbers are going to be. I mean, you say, I could be a rich man. I know where the stocks are heading. Wednesday's a big day for me because I know what's going to happen. Well, guess what? I know what's going to happen. God has already told me what's going to happen. If I do this, that's going to happen. I will reap what I sow. I already know the future. And if I disregard it, I will reap what I sow. I have tomorrow's paper. I have eternity in my hands. God's wisdom. Do I want it? And diligently seek after it. You have to ask yourself, do you really want God's wisdom? Do you really want it? Because if you really want it, then you will separate yourself. And you will intermeddleth with all wisdom. You'll have all that at your fingertips. But it will not agree with the way you want to go. If what you're trying to do is carnal and wrong, it's against God. God wants you to do what's right. He's going to give you his wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says this. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. What is God going to teach you? About things that are holy, things that are righteous, things that are honest, things that are upright, things that are good. That's what God's going to teach us. That's God's wisdom. You have to fear God. There should be a fear of the Lord. How can you find wisdom? You need to humble yourself. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Just humble myself. Lord, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I know what I think I should do. I'm asking you, please show me. Direct me in the scriptures. Direct me through my reading today. You know how many times God has turned the light on in my heart? And I know exactly what I had to do. Or what I was doing was the right way to go, even when I was troubled about it. God said, just keep going in that direction. He'll do the same thing for you. Because God loves you. He wants to direct his children. He wants to help you through every situation that you think is hopeless. Get God's wisdom on that situation. Seek his wisdom and trust it. Lean on it. How do you know it's his wisdom? You'll find it in this book. It won't always agree with our carnal thinking, though. Self-admiration, lifting ourselves up, thinking too highly of ourselves, you will not get the wisdom of God. Just look on past decisions and see if or who you trusted. Was it God, or did you trust your own thinking or someone that didn't lead you in the path of the Bible? And just see where that decision took you. You see? Whose wisdom did you take? But I got to tell you, don't be a lazy Christian. Because we're lazy. We just want it fast. When the computer screen doesn't change immediately when I hit the button, I'm wondering, why is this taking more than 2 seconds or a second and a half? Why isn't it flashing in front of my eyes? God doesn't work like that. Slow down. God will give you his wisdom in time. But we're lazy. We don't even search for it. It should be our goal. Our goal as a Christian is to know what God has for my life. That's wisdom. That's seeking for it. And it should be a mission that we're on every day to read our Bibles. I don't want to know how many people in here are reading their Bible every day. I mean spending time in the Word of God. I'm not talking about 5 minutes or 10 minutes. We have had enough Bible this year to understand how important the Word of God is for us. And if we're not spending, a half hour is even scratching the surface, isn't it? We ought to just put the time aside and read our Bibles. It should be our goal every day because we're seeking, we're searching diligently for the wisdom of God. And you need to seek it early. That doesn't mean, like it says back in Proverbs chapter 8:17, I love them that love me and those that seek me early. It's not just talking about in the morning, though we ought to open our Bible. It's talking about when you're a young person. That's why there's our Sunday school. Guess what they're learning? They're learning that God created them male and female, created he them. They're learning about God's wisdom and how God created the earth. They're learning that this morning. But it's not just in the morning, early in the day, but in our youth to learn what God has to say. I mean, if you're grown up now, I got saved at 35 years old. So all that, the youth was way past. And there was a whole lot of trouble and garbage in the bin in my life. But I started then. I had a hunger for the Word of God. And you ought to have a hunger for the Word of God. It's better than anything the world can offer you. Jesus told us, and we're going to learn tonight, that we need to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not the bread of this world, but that bread of life, the Word of God. But if you're growing up, now's the time. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why it's so important. Your children are in there now learning about God. They're getting wisdom. At 6 years old, they know more than all these guys out there that deny God as a creator. They know God created the earth. They know only God can make a duck quack. They know that only God can make a virgin have a child. But there's intellects out there and elitist professors that say, no, that didn't happen. But we know it did. And your children are learning it. They're learning the wisdom of God. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. So they're learning it now. Why? Because when you don't know what to do, God does. When you're at the end of your rope and you just don't know what to do, God knows what to do. He's not wringing his hands and wondering, what do I do now? God has never had that thought. What's next? How do I fix your problem? God already knows. And he says, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. That's wisdom. It's crying out saying, I love them that love me. If you love wisdom, you follow God's wisdom. As you do that, you're giving yourself over to him. You're giving yourself more and more of your life over to him. And God fills you more and more with his Holy Spirit. And you're guided more and more. And you love him more. And he loves you more. And he, not more, but he fills you with the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we experience the love of God more as we love him more. As we love his wisdom more and more. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we continue to love him. And he loves us. And we experience that abounding love of God in our lives. If you don't feel the love of God in your life, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. You draw near to him, he will draw nigh to you. One way is to love wisdom, love his word, love his principles, and live that principle. It's not enough to just know it. The wise man lives it. And that's why he experiences it. And that's why he can say, you can trust that. What I just told you. Do you know, there's been times when people have asked me, what do I do, Dan? I said, well, I'll tell you. The Bible says, blah, 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 says this. All right, I'm going to do it. You've just told somebody what to do in their life, but really it's God telling them. And you have to step back and say, that person's going to follow what I just told them. But I can rest assured that I told them the truth. If that falls, if something happens, they have to go back to the Word of God. I'm standing on the truth, and I'm going to tell them the truth. Because otherwise, if it's your own wisdom, if it's your own intellect, I wouldn't want somebody coming back and said, you told me to do this. I said, I told you, God said to do this, and you didn't do it. You follow God, and you'll never fall. Now, how can I find wisdom? Ask. James chapter 1, verse 5. This isn't too difficult. It's funny that the Christian life, not that it's simple per se, but God lays out for us what we have to do and the steps we have to take. We're just not following the steps. In James chapter 1 and in verse 5, James chapter 1 and in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask. I can't even understand that. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally. He gives as much as you need. He gives as much as you need. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God doesn't hold back anything from us. God gives us as much as we need. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you ask, are you really trusting the Lord? God's not going to hold back. Don't be double-minded. Lord, I want to know what to do in this situation. And you ask him, and God will give you the wisdom that you need. God will give you the answers to that question that you have. Because he upbraideth not. When a woman takes her hair and it's real long and takes those three strands, you know, and then begins to braid it, guess what happens to the hair? It gets shorter. It kind of moves up, you know, it upbraids. God doesn't hold back any of his wisdom. He gives as much as you need. So in order to find wisdom, what do you have to do? You just have to ask. You have to ask God. Seek for it. Ask him. And then Psalm 111:10 says, fear the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. But, you know, let's look at that because there's something else in that verse I want you to see. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. Little word. All they that what? Do his commandments. You can know. You can know that it's wrong to steal. Do not steal. Thou shalt not steal. If I don't steal, I'm obeying God. I have wisdom. And someone says, hey, you think I should steal something? No. That's wisdom. Don't steal. But if you don't do those commandments, you haven't imparted wisdom to yourself or to anyone else. You have to keep, obey, is what I'm saying. And that comes through fearing the Lord. We need to obey. So we ask and then we fear God and we obey. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll show you somebody who asked for wisdom. I'm sure you know who that is. By the way, I know Solomon was a wise man. But I think Adam was probably smarter than Solomon. Before he fell. Because he had a mind that wasn't tainted by sin for some amount of time there. So he must have been very wise. But Solomon was a wise man. First Kings chapter 3. And look in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." He said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know how to run this country. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people, that cannot be numbered for counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked for this thing, had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee." So Solomon just asked. And when he did, it pleased the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He gave him wisdom to run a country and to judge his people. He gave him just what he needed. Now, I say that to say, what have you asked for? Have you ever asked God for wisdom? Have you ever asked God his mind on a problem or a question or a situation in your life? Ask yourself, how often do I go to God for the answer? Because God is pleased when we go to him and ask him for his wisdom about something in our lives. But you know, being wise, I mean, Solomon was given wisdom. You know, in verse 1, it says, Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter. What a slippery slope Solomon got himself on when he made a contract with Pharaoh and took his daughter. And then he had another 300 wives or 700 wives and 300 concubines. Even a wise man can have folly in his life if he doesn't fear the Lord and stand in righteousness like his father David, it says, had an upright heart. It doesn't matter how wise you are, you can still fall. So be very careful that we don't allow these gods to get into our life. You know, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 10:1. It's a very interesting verse because it said, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth folly, a little folly in him who is in reputation for wisdom and honor." So as much as God wants to exalt us and lift us up and give us his wisdom, just a few dead flies, a little bit of sin in your life will destroy that immediately. Because as the man was stirring all the ointments together, the apothecary, and making these sweet incense, and a dead fly falls in it. Do you want that perfume, ladies? Do you want it? No. It's a little bit of sin in your life. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So we can have the wisdom of God, but we have to lead upright lives and obey it. And God's pleased by that. That's going to change our lives. Get wisdom. It's important. And other Christians, you can ask their counsel. There's not one serious situation that I have that I don't ask at least two or three people. Two of them are back in the States, and one or two of them are here, that I talk to. And I ask, because I'm assured that I'm going to get biblical counsel. I want to know the truth. You can do that too. You have pastor, friends, your parents. Ask them for wisdom. You know, I have this picture in my kitchen. Some of you may have it. I mean, when I look at it, I just see an old man with his little cup of porridge there, or soup, and some bread. But I also see wisdom. Why I see wisdom? Because I think that's his Bible sitting next to him. I mean, there's people that you know are walking with God. Well, why wouldn't you ask them for their counsel? It's not just the hoary head, as the Bible says, the white hair and the experience that comes with age and the wisdom that should come as we grow older in the Lord, but just the fact that he just seems like his Bible is right there by his side. I want to know what he has to say. Do you see what I'm saying? I want his counsel on things. I want to search for wisdom. You know, Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And in verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So everything that was written in that Old Testament was written for us to learn, for us to use it in our lives. I mean, we know that David committed adultery. But we also know that when he repented, God forgave him. I don't know what you did in your life. I don't have to know. I know that you can get forgiveness just by learning from David that there's complete forgiveness for anything that happens in our life. If we'll go to God and repent, we can learn that by reading the Bible. We can learn that Moses, even though he felt he couldn't open his mouth and he was nothing but a stutterer and didn't feel like he could lead a million people out of bondage, found out that God could use him. God can use you too. There's not one person in here that can't be used of God. He's not looking for great talent. No matter what you can do physically or intellectually, God just wants an open heart, a willing heart. God just wants somebody that will trust him. You'll learn that by reading your Old Testament. So we need personal study is what I'm saying. You got to get into the Bible. You got to search for wisdom. It doesn't just happen. You can't put the Bible under your pillow and go to sleep and wake up in the morning with wisdom. That's not going to happen. We're lazy Christians. The fruit of wisdom. Back in Proverbs chapter 8. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. In verse 18, look what it says. It says, "Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness." I don't know if this message is flying over people's heads, but I mean, do you see that there's fruit from just trusting God and the wisdom of God? We can walk with God and we can have riches and honor are with me, he says. Durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. God has so much for us. I mean, what are the fruits? Riches and honor. Riches and honor. I mean, we're talking about spiritual wealth there. Righteousness. Righteousness. The riches of all the spiritual things of God that we can learn from the Scriptures. That's the fruit. Things of eternal value. Things that are better than just silver and gold. Things that are going to last forever. There's temporary things, and then there's eternal things. That's what wisdom gives us. And they're better than gold. You know, Kathy loves antiques. She loves going into antique stores. I let her look. We just don't buy. It's as simple as that. I mean, the stuff that's 150 years old is more expensive than the stuff that's brand new. Why? Because it's old and it's lasted. It's durable. It's durable riches. We actually have this little, if you came into the house, the first thing you see is this 160-year-old little table there. And it's got cracks in it and it's hard to pull the drawer out sometimes. It's like, but it's 160 years old. But it's lasted, you see. And that's why it's costly. Just to have an antique. The last time we went was up near Newmarket. There's a antique store there. And I let her look around. Of course, you're not going to buy anything. This stuff is really off the charts. I said, maybe one of those little thimbles there you're going to have. Some old thimble. You believe people would buy an old thimble? Maybe they collect thimbles. I don't know. But why is it valuable? Because it's old and it's durable and it's lasted. And so does spiritual things, our eternal things. We just want the things of the world. They won't last. We want riches and we want honor. That's what we should be looking for. Righteousness. Discernment. Wouldn't you like to have discernment? Wouldn't you like to know what to do in life? Wouldn't you like to be able to judge what is right and wrong? What is good and evil? In all those situations where you say, this could be a gray area. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. What do I do? Oh, I read the Bible and I got the answer from the scriptures. I have discernment and treasures. You know the greatest treasure you can have is peace in your heart. In the midst of all the trouble on that sea, you can have peace in your heart, right? The peace of God. If that's not a riches, one of the riches of God, I don't know what is. I wake up in the morning and I have peace in my heart. I go to bed, I have peace in my heart. Now, I'm not perfect and neither are you. There's times when I'm troubled. But I go to God and I can find peace. Why? Because it's the wisdom that's in this book. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Hold your finger here and look at Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse 35. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. So a good man brings good things out of his heart. You see? We have to put good things in to start with. Just go back to Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in where? Heaven. Not in the bank. In heaven. Spiritual, eternal things. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure this morning? What do you hold up as valuable? I hope it's the eternal things of God, which is righteousness and discernment. Those are treasures and peace and joy in our hearts. You know, back in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20, says, I lead in the way of righteousness. And then in verse 21, he says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Yes, you can have some wealth if God wants you to have wealth. The richest person in the world was Solomon. God gave him wisdom, and because he asked for it, and then he went ahead and poured a whole bunch of wealth on him. You know how many dumb decisions we make with our money because we try to hold back from God, and we're takers instead of givers, or we just don't know what to do. Should I invest in that, and should I do that? God has all the answers for that. God can take care of you. We waste a lot of our money on the things of this world. I want to know what to do with my money. God says he'll give me increase in my substance. I'm not preaching some kind of wealth gospel. I'm simply telling you, God wants to bless your finances. He wants to take care of you if you'll let him, lead and guide in that thing. We can help others. It was verse 14 back in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14 says, counsel is mine. Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. It's good to be able to tell somebody what to do. You know, some people have come to me and asked me a question. I said, you know what? Can I get back to you? You know why? Two reasons. First of all, I didn't know. It wasn't on the tip of my tongue. The other reason was I wasn't going to blurt out something, because I knew that this person was going to take what I told them, possibly, and act on it. I want to know that what I'm telling them is from the Bible. I take that as even preaching the Word of God. You're standing in the place of God. Hopefully I'm telling you what God is telling us out of the Scriptures. So we're very careful when we're counseling other people. But there's a lot of people out there that need counsel, that need help. You need to pay attention to it. You need to listen and hearken unto wisdom. Back in Proverbs chapter 8, hang in there with me now. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, it says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Pay attention to wisdom. Listen, be obedient to it. You know, in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. How many days do you have left? You don't know, do you? This could be it. But wisdom tells us, number your days. You don't know when your last day is coming. Some of us are closer chronologically than others. But that doesn't mean anything, whether you're 18 or whether you're 88. We are to number our days, because by numbering our days, we see how really little and frail we are as humans, and we ought to apply our hearts to wisdom, because we need God's wisdom every day in our life. Verse 33 says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." Don't dismiss it away. It's very valuable and of great worth is the wisdom of God. Verse 34, you need to get serious about it. Because in verse 34 it says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." We need to get serious about God's wisdom and our Bible. And we find life and favor. In verse 35 it says, "For whoso findeth me wisdom findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, you ought to write down Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16, if you're writing any notes. Proverbs 19, verse 8. You ought to read those verses. Because God's wisdom always takes you down the right path. Always. So there's some wisdom for you. God's wisdom will never steer you wrong. You'll always go down the right path. And finally, there's a danger in not seeking wisdom. Verse 36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love what? Death." If you hate what I've just told you, if you hate what the Bible says, you've just embraced death. You've just said, "I'd rather die." And maybe you will. You don't want to live the way God wants you to live. Sinneth against me, that means you just dismiss it or you condemn it and say, "I don't want it. I don't want God's wisdom." And you just forfeit it and say, "I don't want it." Well, then you've sinned against wisdom. You missed the mark. And you've wronged your own soul. It says you're wrong. If you bring violence, that means. It means that you hurt yourself. And guess what, Dad? If you hurt yourself, you're hurting those around you. Mom, you're hurting those around you if you won't seek after wisdom and find out what God has to say about raising your children. You're set up for failure, is what you are. You're set up for failure. Because you wrong your own soul. It's your very life. Let me finish here. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Let me read. Now listen to the words of wisdom. Whether you know Christ as your personal Savior or maybe you have no idea how to get to heaven this morning, you listen to the words of Scripture, the wisdom. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His" what? "Grace." That works. "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," or a sacrifice, "through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ." What do? Just believe by faith in His righteousness in order to be saved. He's the just one. He's the judge. Not you, not me. You will not get to heaven by being a good person. We get to heaven because He was a good person. He was the perfect person, and He died in our place. And we have to put our faith in Him. And we can only do that because of grace. Because God's unmerited kindness and love toward us, that He would allow us to believe on His Son. Verse 27 says, where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith, without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Thankfully, he's not. Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and circumcision through faith. Jew or Gentile, matters not. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The moment we couldn't keep the law, we said, the law is good, but we can't keep it. He could. That's faith. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? What's the wisdom of God? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You think God owes you something? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's the wisdom of God about salvation. If you're here today and you think you're going to get to heaven because you're a good person, the Bible says no. It's by grace through faith. No one's going to boast in heaven that they got there of their own righteousness. That's the wisdom of God. If you're not saved here today, you must believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that shed his blood for our sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a warning. If you hate God's wisdom, you count him or his counsel as your enemy. You embrace death. If you take those verses of Scripture that I just read out of Romans and you dismiss them, then you've just embraced death. For the wages of sin is death. And it's the same for the Christian also. We may not go to a devil's hell, but we will still lose fellowship with God. And continued practice of sin leads to a premature death. So, what's the conclusion? Where does wisdom come from? From God. And we find that in his Bible. You can find wisdom, but you have to diligently what? Seek for it. You have to search for it. But God's not hiding it. Just ask God with some fear in your heart, some respect and reverence for him. There's fruit, there's blessings in following wisdom, riches and honor, peace, joy. And it'll always take us down the right path. And there's danger in not following wisdom. Christian, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. That's the challenge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. What's your decision going to be? Let's pray.